If we had made even three of the dozens of prophecies for Americans that we made for you Iranians, a restart temple would have been built by now. 20 to 30 million people would be prostrating themselves. And poor me, I'd constantly have to go out and say, by God, restart doesn't belong to me. The miracle has been there for seven centuries, and yet you turned your face away? Shake it off, man. Believe me, restart has arrived and will turn everything upside down. Whether you want it or not, it will become a Sufi empire. You are only increasing the harvest. Don't try to stop it. Welcome to the 112th Restart Program. I see war, chaos, sedition, and injustice from the right and the left. I see looting, murder, and vast armies in the center and the margins. I find the slave acting like a master, and I see the master acting like a slave. I see many worthless base people becoming officials and lords. I find religion and faith weakened. I see the innovator of heresy taking pride. They strike new coins on the face of gold, but I see the dirham as debased. Each of the rulers of the seven realms I see entangled with one another. The appointment and dismissal of tax collectors and agents, I see each happening twice. Grieve not, for in this turmoil, I see the joy of union with the beloved. After several more years, I see a world as beautiful as a painting. When the fifth winter passes, I see the sixth as a beautiful spring. Welcome to Restart. There are only two prophecies left. One of them is camouflaged in the poetry. The Islamic Republic is way too small to understand what it is. Once two more are fulfilled, the start of the events that must happen for Iran in this era will be triggered. Look at the prophecies in the Goodnight Iran programs. In Restart, everything Shah Nematollah Vali said will happen. Whether you like it or not, whether you scream or shout. That's why, if you remember, I explained several times in Restart. We told the world's intelligence agencies plainly that you can't do anything anymore. The arrival of the Sufi empire has been foretold, and when it is foretold, it means whatever the world does, they only destroy themselves. So whoever you see getting beaten more, suffering more, this time they are doing it to themselves with the lamp that God himself ignites. Whoever tries to blow it out will burn his own beard. I gave this explanation so you know two more are left, and for that reason, it's possible. I'm telling you now, stopping Restart isn't up to me. I can't stop it, just like I couldn't start it, but it can be adjusted. We might do 13 episodes on Thursdays because the situation has become very grave, so you can gain political information. There will probably be a 12 or 13 part series, and there we will tell you, why haven't you been able to get rich until now? Why are we Iranians suffering like this, and what should we do? How are they tricking us, and how do they want to trick us again? How they want to trick us again is a very important point. What trick do they want to pull on us now? A program called Cyrus Empire will start on Thursday for 13 episodes. And after that, maybe it's 12 episodes, then Restart will go back to twice a week. Goodnight Iran has nothing to do with Restart. One point I've said many times, someone said, yes, even though I strongly disagree with you in politics and such, I listen to Restart. Restart is not about politics, it's about your seed. These two are very different. Those who love Restart and have become Restartees can understand right now what will happen to them after death. Those who have a problem with Restart, their seed is up in the air, meaning they are in conflict with Restart, they insult Restart. Restart doesn't belong to me, so nothing happens to me, and its increase or decrease doesn't benefit me personally. It is just an event that after 700 years is a kindness to you Iranians or Persian speakers who understand these words of ours. It doesn't matter. And there is a group in the middle who are hesitant. Their seed is still good, meaning it's not clear what will happen. They doubt. Being hesitant is fine. Only those who are truly in conflict with Restart get angry when it airs. Their internal magnetic force literally falls apart. you know, like a child who has something taken away and loses it, to understand what forces exist within, you can easily find out through restart. Some people get angry listening to restart. Their voltage goes up. They lose it. They get upset. It's not their fault. You have to examine the bread, the camel, the mother, and all that. The story of the camel and the tree and mommy we said before. And don't think I am personally telling you this. Who am I to say this? All the people of Sufism and mysticism have said this over these thousands of years, and nothing can be done about it. This seed has existed in this space from the beginning. There are reasons for it. As we go forward, as I told you, restart keeps restarting you. You knew some things about heaven and hell. Now in restart, you understand some other things. And further on, you'll understand even more. And everything changes. Our way of speaking in Goodnight Iran is clear. Rumi says, since I have to deal with a child, I must speak the language of children. All the politicians of the world throughout history are petty squabbles. We haven't had good people in politics. It's only by chance. Yes, I'll say the word chance again so it sticks in your ear. By total chance, someone good might emerge. All politicians seek three things: power, sex, and money. This has always happened throughout history. When you talk to such a person, you give them a baby treat, make them a doll, it's a spider's web. And if Sadi wanted to speak to them, he would say, oh my, what feathers, what a tail, what a king, what glory, what majesty. He mocks him. Rumi's speech is entirely different. Let me read these few verses for you. Since I have to deal with a child, I must speak the language of children. This has a Sufi and Gnostic perspective, saying, go to school so I can buy you a bird or bring you raisins, walnuts, and pistachios. Okay. He says, go become a writer or sit and write, meaning wisdom, go toward wisdom. If you promise to go, I'll buy you a bird, raisins, and walnuts. You know nothing but the youth of the body. Take this youth. O donkey of barley, sheir, is the same as the non-alcoholic beer you drink. It means barley. He says, Shabab, means the youth of the body. Look, a child grows up, reaches adolescence, then youth, then middle age and old age. That is the form of my life and yours. But sometimes in politics it's the same. One stays in childhood. This isn't just about the body and time. One can wander in childhood for 50,000 years, meaning someone might become a leader or a king, but they are still a child. They haven't grown. And that's why they fight with Sufism for no reason. They think they are very big. They actually talk to the doll they were given and enjoy it. This little house their mom built in the room is a Disney world to them. This is their mindset. Don't think Shabab means youth or middle age means 40 years. No. Go talk to your dad right now. After a few minutes, you'll realize if he is in youth, childhood, or greatness. You can't have that limited perspective. He says you are seeking, you know nothing but the youth of the body. You are always chasing the body, chasing the big car at 90 years old, wanting a bigger ego, wanting four more prisoners, wanting people to listen to you. Take this youth, O donkey of barley, my dear donkey, take this barley and eat it, since you are looking for barley. He is literally only talking to two groups. Generally, Rumi almost never talked to the masses. He always spoke to the internal perspective of humans. He spoke about the clergy of all religions and governments who think they know everything. Here he says, no wrinkle shall fall upon your face. That auspicious youth of yours shall stay fresh. He says, you are so obsessed with youth. The line that falls on the face is wrinkle. Neither the sorrow of old age will come upon you, nor will your stature like a cypress be bent in two. He says Nayund means grief and sorrow. He says the grief of old age isn't on you and your back won't bend like an old man's. The strength of youth shall not decrease in you, nor will you need toothpicks or banners for your teeth. He's young, he eats well, bites well, eats the other guy's food, steals that one's property, sucks up people's money, attacks that group, pulls out their cash, and your teeth stay just like that. No decrease in lust or intercourse, such that women would grow weary of your weakness. He says such refers to intercourse, like wild animals chasing explicit scenes. You just want to do more of these bad things. Such that women would grow weary of your weakness. Meaning you have to be strong to do these things. The glory of youth shall open doors in such a way. just as the gates of the Gate of Balk would open. The Gates of Balk, where they went for love and fun. He mentions those gates. He says, you think you are such an important and strong person that even gates open for you. Why? Because you belong to the body. You know nothing but the youth of the body. Here he is exactly telling Hosseini, meaning Hosseini, what are you looking for? They give you that. And because you are chasing the body, what does body mean? Anything in the universe. Now, if you want to interpret this poem again, though interpretation is the job of the Sufis and the great Gnostics, if you want to interpret it simply, it says, whatever belongs to the material realm, which is the realm of the body, whatever shape you are and whatever age. When a child is a dervish, poor and miserable, they can't go get milk. When did you see a newborn run after a cow, pin it down and milk it, or get up and go to the fridge, or go shopping? A child never does that. A child stays in their place. The only way for a child to solve hunger is crying. They understand through crying. The only way to save the soul is also crying. Not crying for food, not fake crying. So in the realm of the body, a child's crying helps the mother give milk. And the mystical mother gives you milk when your heart breaks. It's simple. That's why they say crying led Abraham or Zoroaster to that station where he went to Mecca and built the house of God. Or it says Moses was bewildered. Moses fled. He killed a man. He murdered. He fled. And for a moment his heart broke and he said, even Muslims read this. It's in the Jewish Torah. But in general, his heart broke. He said, help me somehow. I'm tired. Here they accept the broken heart and the tired body. He was left alone and they saved him. All these people throughout history have walked this path. Here, if you chase your body, all the thoughts of the body will be given to you. So in previous programs, let us leave everything else, for the talk of the friend is sweeter. We return from this movement back into restart. Your material realm is your realm of the body. Everything that exists in your body must exist for you to eat things, so that these things you eat can turn into thought, meaning they enter your soul through your wisdom and your life force. Which soul? The soul they gave you from the beginning. You don't remember this soul to understand it. Look, our brains are made in a way I explained a bit last time. When you send a spacecraft to Mars, its brain is designed to survive, live, and think there. Now, if you're supposed to send it from Mars to the edge of the Milky Way, you must prepare the tools of greatness for that long journey. You have to set it up so it can go that far. The wonder of your brain is that it's designed, and scientists still know nothing about it, so that as we go higher, this matrix of the brain comes with you. It's very strange. It's like if I send a ship to Mars, and it goes to the end of the Milky Way and even gets married there. Imagine that! This is how you have to think to understand the subject. When I separate the shuttle from myself and send it out of Earth, it turns, moves on its own, takes photos, films, sends them, goes and gets married on Uranus, drinks water somewhere, and separates easily from the Milky Way, slows down, speeds up, sleeps comfortably, dances some nights. Everything must be inside it for this to happen. This is your brain. Why did they give this to you? No, they didn't give it to you and me. You and I are entirely in this body, man, searching for a morsel by God. If they throw one in front of me, I'll fall to my knees crying. You and I love money and status. We love the body. We lie all the time. We think we understand so much, but really, I am like this. I don't know about you. I really am. This body and brain you have now, you are using it within the structure of your body. Now, if you become a Sufi, you must be able to go on an ascension with your body. You must go on an ascension with your soul. You can enter the ascension when your brain shuttle has these capabilities. When you move, this brain must have the pull to come from above. And just like a shuttle, this body is matter. Matter must be able to perform in the space of energy or other spaces. We read a verse, we joke and don't understand it, but we joke. For example, so much did I fix my imagination on you that from head to toe I became you. You arrived bit by bit and I departed slowly, slowly. We say this verse but don't understand it. Then you say, Hosseini, you said it in Restart, and we thought we understood, but we still don't. This verse has billions of states. For example, the people of Sufism in every religion have placed a dialogue to dismantle that religion. Right now, with one word, I can do something that when you go into a mosque, to all Shiite mosques, if you ask them, have you heard this word? They say yes. Do you know what it is? No. When you say my word, all the mosques, all the clergy of the world, all the Shiites, all those who beat their chests and cry for Hussein, look, with one simple word, I can throw them all into chaos. How? I stole this word from the Sufis, and I'll explain why. Because the Sufis put this code in Shiism, in Sunnism, in Christianity, but they don't understand it. Why? Because they only say it. Muslims have this verse but don't know it, yet they all cry over it. Every Shiite has cried about 6 times for this word I'm about to say, and every time they cried, they went backward, not forward. A simple phrase says, Fatma am Abiha, meaning Fatima, the mother of her father. This is a comedy. This sentence is a comedy. It says, Fatima, this same Fatima the Shias cry for, is the mother of her father. Am Abiha means the mother of her father. It says Fatima is her father's mother. How is that possible? I am my mother's father. It's a joke, man, unless you understand it through Sufism. Everyone goes and screams, well, Fatima, am Abiha. Then they come and cry happily without understanding the subject. If you ask people from other cities, what are you saying? They say, Fatima, am Abiha. They beat their heads and don't understand. If someone comes from elsewhere and asks, what does it mean? Or they say, Fatima is the mother of her father. He asks, can I be my father's mother or my mother's father? He says, no. Then why do you say it? I don't know. That Fatima, Abiha, is exactly this verse. So much did I fix my imagination on you, that from head to toe I became you slash you arrived bit by bit, and I departed slowly, slowly. This is Albert Einstein's relativity. So the story of Jesus is clear in Attar. How does this happen? It's the soul they gave you, but you are asleep. What they call rust. That forms, this is it. They gave you something. You entered the ascension of the body, and they named you Adam. The only language in the world that said everything with thought from the beginning is Persian, meaning first came Persian, then Arabic, then William Shakespeare, then English literature, then German. They are in order, the reason. Because every word told to you was given to Iranians by Sufism. For example, what is the name of this? They said human. Human comes from forgetfulness, meaning the forgetful one, the miserable one. What is this called? World. World comes from lowly, meaning base, worthless. The whole world is yours. Then we make poems and songs. The whole world is yours. The whole world is yours. Meaning all the filth is yours. All the baseness is yours. Adam, human, Bashar means the bringer of tidings. It has an Arabic perspective in it. To whom does I desire a human belong? I desire a human means you must forget something within yourself. It's a classification of Adam. You are born Adam, you must go toward human. If you leave as Adam, you die. Human begins, you must go toward human. If you don't pass now, you have to stay and study in summer school. If you don't pass in university, you have to retake it. A human's entire life is divided into 3 parts. Youth, middle age, old age. If your financial situation is good in youth, just in this world, it will become average or bad in middle age or old age. This applies to the masses. Now, if your financial situation was bad in middle age, see how old you are, you will have a good old age. Because tropy and entropy are created, and trophies are within entropies, and trophies are created again. It's much more compressed than these imaginations. Entropy produces tropies, and tropies produces entropy. That's a whole discussion. You have to get into quantum and such to see what it even means. how troops produce entropies and stay in place. Like we stack bricks and a house is made, but if we scatter houses in the air, a city is made. No, we throw bricks in the air and a house is made. It's like that. And when we look at society, it's like this. The locust eats the donkey, the donkey eats the locust, the donkey eats the dog, and the dog barks, adds 6 extra barks for nothing. The fish goes and eats another, the lion jumps and eats that one, the hyenas attack and eat the guy in the air, the dogs scream, the Anopheles lives, that one has 80 kids, that one has 60, that one produces 6,000, that one is an egg layer. When you put it all together, you see if the number of flies decreases, all the donkeys will die. If the number of donkeys decreases, the dogs are gone. If you open your gas valve too much or start your car and let it smoke, the ozone layer gets a hole. Later, as things get advanced, you understand the relationship between entropy and trophies. That's why a person who doesn't believe in God but seeks outward knowledge to serve humanity is billions of times higher than the one screaming in a mosque or church. Sufism has always said this. It says all those who are godless but think about ants are with God. They are passionate. They don't realize it because 1 hour of reflection is equal to 1,000 years of worship. So they gave you something, a creature called soul. We call it soul just to understand the subject. They gave you something that is you inside you. Where is it? It's in a place for you. It's both in your body and outside it. It's like a driver relative to a car. This driver has a wife and kids, but the car doesn't. My body doesn't have a wife or kids. My body doesn't even have children. My body doesn't move on its own. Why doesn't the body have children? Because when a child is created, it becomes a plant, then an animal, then a leech, then it grows, and somewhere something enters it that makes it a child. If that thing doesn't enter, it never becomes a child. The God of the body creates the body. The God of life/wisdom creates life. The God of the soul creates the soul. And that's why you and I are connected to that creature right now, but we can't perform its tasks. So what do Sufism and mysticism do? They teach you where what you have inside is located and how to turn the material world into energy and give this soul to wisdom and thought. Why? Because when you die, this soul absolutely needs the things you are giving it now. Life in the mother's body is struggling to ensure the baby has 5 fingers, using all its strength for 2 legs and a brain. Why? Because this soul hidden in the mother's womb has gone into the child, and the life force and material this child has are working so that the body, the material, is completed in the womb. Why? Because it needs it when it comes out to run, exercise, get married. The same thing is happening to you and me, and we are warm and don't realize it. We don't even know that you and I don't exist here. You don't want to understand this. A virtual world, a world of toys, it is the world, meaning it is the base. So where are we now? These are very important questions that will be opened in future restart episodes. They are in the poems of the Gnostics and Sufis. Where are we? Why are we here? Where did we come from? You know, what were we coming for? Over these 100 episodes of restart, we've realized a bit that we could not come. That's very interesting. We realized we must stay on this earth to go up. Coming down is the way to go up. Huh? Yes. Look, you are on Earth, and you want to leave the Milky Way, to leave the universe. You don't know whether to go up or down. Maybe going down is up. On Earth, you say up is straight up. Straight might be further. Maybe the left is up. We are from above, and to the above we go. It means you don't know where we are going. We are going where we are going. To understand the example, what does it mean? A simple example. Imagine an ant or a good drop of water on a leaf, and this leaf is on a river that is moving. The drop of water doesn't know it's going toward the sea and will reach that beauty. It only sees itself turning, sees 100 twists and turns, then sees things change. Like an ant on a leaf on water heading to the ocean, and its qibla, direction of prayer, changes every second because with every turn it doesn't know where its chibla was. We are from above, and to the above we go means this drop of water that came from the sea must return, ana ili raja'un, meaning, indeed, we belong to him and to him we return, to the sea. If this drop becomes food for a jackal and doesn't return, another drop must return to the sea. Otherwise, the seas dry up and the world falls apart. This is its material world. Humans are the same. If you are tearing bellies, murdering, and acting like a king and arrogant, you are that drop that is becoming food for a jackal. Another drop takes your place and you don't even know. The sea doesn't move, and because of that, whatever you do has no benefit or harm to the complete human. The complete human gives 25 billion, 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 billion drops up in the world daily, and 25 billion, 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 billion drops return to their place. You are just loitering in the middle. Do you want to be among the drops that return to the sea so that indeed we return happens? Or do you want to be like poor Hosseini, hanging in the air? The soul is the same. The thoughts from the material of my body enter the life force by eating food, and an output comes out. The life force is like a kidney. It filters everything you and I eat into pure thought. Pure thought. That's why Abraham says good speech, good thought. He says this for that reason. Good is what he says, and the end is wisdom. The Zoroastrian priests took this. The Zoroastrians really gave us a hard time. The worst kind of clergy in human history were the Zoroastrian priests. They destroyed our ancient heritage, and I wanted to talk about it today, but decided not to. They ruined us. They were thousands of billions of times worse than ISIS. ISIS only attacked Iraq and destroyed heritage. But what these guys did. Just as a small piece of evidence, we have no history of the Parthians or Seleucids. The Zoroastrian priests erased it all so they could attach themselves, the Sassanids, to the Achaemenids. They erased the entire history of that period, burned the books, and killed the people. To know what the Zoroastrian priests did in the Sassanid era, just go look up the Parthian era and see we have nothing. Everything we know about the Parthians, we know from foreign neighbors. We understand from the Greeks what the Parthians did. These guys wanted to say, we are descendants of the Achaemenids, so they started massacres. They killed over 500,000 Christians, 500,000 Jews, 500,000 Mandaeans. It's all in historical records. Over 80,000 to 90,000 more, 100,000 followers of Mani were killed. The massacre they committed against the Mazdakites is beyond imagination, because Jews don't know. Well, some know their history books. These priests spared no one. The Zoroastrian priesthood is the worst type of government. They destroyed everything. Go look at Yemen. They are all Manichaean, meaning those who followed Mani were Iranians who were taken to be killed in dungeons, but luckily they were saved by chance. They were exiled for war. Don't think they were exiled for nothing. The Yemenis you see fighting now were Iranians who went to Yemen for war. They were told if they won for the king there, they could stay. Many of the soldiers were massacred, and that same inscription that says, after Shapur, Mani came and turned the world upside down, all books became Manichaean, all religions were sidelined, and a massive restart was broadcast. Christians converted to Mani in waves, especially when he defeated the Romans with a small army. They wondered how he did it. A miracle! I am a miracle myself. Mani said, I am a miracle. If I go with the king, everything. Whoever is an enemy, I see them as dust. I kill them all. We are always victorious. I am a prophet, darling. And that happened. And after Shapur, we see Kartir, the great priests. Look, it's very bad. Please don't laugh. It's painful. But sometimes I laugh because I visualize it. I build images in my mind. Imagine if I reached Tehran tomorrow, erased the image of Cyrus the Great, and put a photo of me and my mom in its place, and below it wrote in Persian, Oh, great Hosseini. Ah, exactly like Mr. Bean, who went to fix that painting and messed up the guy's head and tried to fix it. Exactly like that, This Cartier, the priest of priests, took the image of money from behind Shapur in an inscription that cost billions of dollars. He scraped it off and put his own photo. For 700 to 800 years, people didn't know. Recently, they found out with modern equipment that there was another photo behind it. They said, oh boy, someone else was here. It was Mani's photo. They erased all systems related to the Parthians, besides the unforgivable crimes they committed in history. But since it's in the past, a blacksmith in Balkh committed a sin, but they beheaded a coppersmith in Shushtar. A Persian proverb about misplaced punishment. We have nothing to do with them now. The betrayal they committed. Where has Islam done that? Where is Christianity? You haven't heard of Jews killing 500,000 Iranians? When did you hear that? But we were killed. We killed 500,000 or 600,000 Jews. We, the Zoroastrian priests of that era, killed them, and it's all documented. Anyway, you've been shaken up. Then here in Zoroaster, one reaches that station or condition, all of them in their hearts understood that soul subject and started strengthening it. In the next restart, we wanted to see what Hafez says at the beginning of his poems. Who is he talking about? His most important words are at the very beginning, where he explains to people, come inside. And in principle, they put the best clothes on models in the window to attract people. And we read, O Saki, pass the cup and offer it around, slash, for love seemed easy at first, but then came the difficulties. For the scent of the musk pod, that the morning breeze will eventually release from those locks, slash, from the twist of those dark curls, what blood has fallen into hearts. What security of pleasure is there for me in the beloved's abode when every moment, slash, the bell cries out, bind on your litters. He says, I cannot enjoy life. Hafez says, I never took any pleasure in my life because the bell keeps crying out, bind on your litters. It's constantly screaming in my ear. I am constantly seeing beings telling me, are you ready to go? Let's go. Exactly like a train going somewhere and you are a passenger. Have you ever seen someone get off at a station to propose marriage? No. When you get off the train to buy something small from a shop, you are always afraid the train will leave. So you drink your coffee quickly, you buy clothes quickly. You are always anxious that this train is leaving. You must jump and catch this train. This bind on your litters means this. He says the bell is crying out. They are shouting that we are leaving. The train's horn adds to your stress. He says, if a human on earth wants to reach humanity, they must live like this. Meaning, at the very moment they are talking, they say, oh my God, they are telling me to get on and go. You must feel this. It's not something you can just say. You must feel it. I gave the example so you'd understand the feeling. In Sufism, you and I don't understand what this event is. You must feel that thing that makes Hafez scream. How? You must be on the train. You get off to go to the bathroom and you're afraid the train might leave. Everything is rushed. So how can you sit on a throne for yourself while the guy is being put in Evin prison? Pulling his fingernail. Such a thing is impossible if you think the train is leaving. When you get off in any city, you don't consider that city yours. You say, I have to get on and leave now. Ibar, a politician king, gets off the train in Gorgan or in the middle of Firuzku or Zarindasht and thinks Zarindasht belongs to him. He screams, Giwa, hey, go that way. You come this way, kill him. Buddy, in 5 minutes, you have to get on and go. He doesn't have this feeling. So we don't understand this verse either. I don't understand it too. In Hosseini's life, we don't. And this verse, what security of pleasure is there for me in the beloved's abode, in the beloved's abode and in the arms of this beauty, when every moment the bell cries out, bind on your litters. We have to go inside to see it. You and I see nothing from the outside. Thank you for listening to this program. Thank you. Farewell.